And as we do so, we're going to open our Bibles once again to Galatians and chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Over the last few weeks, as we have traced through our theme of making progress, each week we've had a key theme that we've looked at: authority, blessing, glory, faith, journey, community, Father, God as Father. Each week we have reflected on these in order that in understanding them, in having our minds transformed by God, we might better be able to make progress in our lives. The writer to the Hebrews encourages us: let us throw off everything that hinders us. Everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And in understanding rightly some of these key elements of our faith, understandings of ourself, understandings of God, in understanding these things well, it helps us to throw off so much junk that so easily entangles around us. And it helps us to fix our eyes upon Jesus and to make progress, to run with perseverance the race that is set out before us. And today, as we think about fruit and gifts, next week particularly gifts, and focusing today on fruit, we're going to be thinking about character. Character. And the transformation that God brings about in each one of our lives. As we set our focus on the Lord Jesus, and as we determine that we will follow him more than we will follow anybody else or anything else. We will follow Jesus. And character, our characters, are transformed by God. And we produce what the Bible calls fruit, fruit of the Spirit. And so I say very simply, that's what I mean when I talk about fruit. That's what the Bible means when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It is the creative work of the Holy Spirit in us. And our characters are transformed. And we look to grow. We look to develop. Do you remember them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Have to count them down. I know there's 9 of them, so I have to count them down to make sure they're all there. And then I guess there are many other fruit of the Spirit, the transformation that takes place in our hearts and lives as we follow after Jesus. Character, that's what I mean. And that's what I think the Bible means when it talks about fruit. Now, next week, particularly, we're going to be thinking about gifts. And what I mean by that, what I think the Bible means, is talents and abilities. Some of the talents and abilities we have, we would say, I guess we would say some of our talents and abilities, we would say we've had since we can remember. Is that right? Some of your ability. If somebody says to you, what are you really good at? You might say, well, I'm great at maths. I'm great at music. I'm a great listener. I'm a great encourager. Very caring. I've got green fingers. I can make stuff grow. Great at management. All these kind of things, leadership. We may say that these are things that we've had since we can remember. And we would say, hang on, these are natural things. These are natural abilities and talents. And I want to say, the Bible seems to say that even our natural talents are gifts from God. The Bible also talks very specifically about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, and we'll come on to those particularly next week. Gifts that we may say that we did not have, but God gave us at a particular point in time. Gifts are very different from fruit. Gifts, talents, and abilities are very different from character. When you receive a gift, hopefully it is given without any strings attached. Is that right? Hopefully. There's nothing worse than receiving a gift and then being unsure, how you can use it. Will they approve the person who gave it? And giving gifts or receiving a gift, it's in a sense a risky thing. If I give you a gift, it may not be used in the way I imagined it would be. But if it's a gift, I give it totally over to you. And when God gives us gifts, talents, abilities, they may or may not be used as he intended. And we are entirely free, as the scripture says, you were called to be free. You are entirely free to use your gifts, your talents and abilities as you wish. Hopefully we'll use all our talents, gifts and abilities as God intends, but we can. We can use them as we wish. Fruit, character, is something that's very different. And while the Bible talks about fruit and gifts, and we may argue about which is superior, which is most important, I want to say they're equals, but fruit is the first among equals. There's no point having a great gift if we do not have the character to go with it. So what can we say about fruit? Fruit grows over time. Didn't want that to come up. Not that. Fruit grows over time. It is not instantaneous. We do not say to God, God, make me a loving person. Bang, suddenly we're loving. Make me a kind person. Suddenly we are a kind person. As the next line says, it's like receiving a lifetime achievement award. At the end, after a lifetime of experience, of seeking to have a character that is good, a character that is loving and kind, it's like receiving a lifetime achievement award when somebody says, the thing about you is you are kind, you are generous, you are loving, you are merciful. It takes time. It's not instantaneous, and I guess within our culture that expects to press a button and receive. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit, character, is not like that. Fruit depends on a conducive environment. The second thing, fruit depends on a conducive environment. Now, we can argue here about, well, if I had been brought up in a better family, if I had attended a better church, if I had attended a better school, if I'd had a better education, then I would be of better character. That's not what I mean. Fruit depends on a conducive environment, and the environment to have in mind is right here. Yeah? The fruit that grows within us, the character, the transforming character of God that grows and develops within us, takes time, and the conducive environment that it requires is us. Fruit requires a conducive environment, an environment where it can grow and develop. And that's why the words from Hebrews 12 are so significant. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You see, some of us would have wonderful gifts, great talents, wonderful abilities, and we are valued because of our talents and our gifts and our abilities. And we begin to think, you know, I am so glad for that person's gift. So glad for that person's talent. But then, have you ever had the experience where you push somebody's button and they explode in rage? Has that ever happened to you? And you go, oh, where did that come from? And at that point, you realize, never mind your gifts, never mind your ability. I would far rather you had good character. Gift without character is somehow stained. And to grow fruit requires a conducive environment, us being willing to say, most important for me and my life is that I have a character that reflects the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing, very simply, is fruit holds potential. I wasn't sure whether there was a scientific term to express this, but you know, you'll know what I mean. Fruit holds potential. It spreads seed. And we might think, well, I'll grow the fruit of love, of kindness, of grace, of mercy, of generosity. The great thing about fruit is that if I am loving, it holds the potential, the possibility that if I love you, the seed of love will land in your heart. And you have the opportunity then to love, to grow love. If I am generous, then that holds the possibility, the potential, if I'm generous to you, that you will catch some of that and generosity will grow within your heart if there is an environment that welcomes it. If I am merciful and kind to you, then that holds the possibility that you will catch that and it will grow within you. So if we want more love and more generosity, more kindness, more mercy, then we need to grow it within us in this conducive environment. And then we need to share that fruit, that good character, in the hope that as we spread the seed of this good character, then it will grow in others. I want to talk then about developing character. How do we go about developing character? We could talk, I guess, a long time about what fruit is and how it works and so on. How do we develop this good character? Highlight three key words: humility, obedience, and love. And the first is, if we are going to have a character that reflects Jesus, if we are going to be that conducive environment, we need to root our lives in humility. We need to root our lives in humility. The Lord Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am humble," he said, "and gentle in heart." Jesus, on another occasion, to those who were arguing and bickering about who was the greatest, Jesus took a child and brought the child into the middle of the crowd. "If any one of you would want to be great, you must become humble like a child." There were once two men, Jesus said, who went into the temple to pray. One stood so that everybody could see and hear him, while the other hid at the back. And the one who stood at the front said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like him." And the one who was hiding at the back bowed his head and beat his breast and said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, the one who humbled himself will go home justified." Jesus speaks tellingly about humility. Humility is not the same as weakness. Humility is not the same as being a doormat that other people can walk all over. Humility is a true assessment of who we are before God. The acknowledgement that others are better than us, that we are willing to serve others. And we catch our tongue and we are careful with what we do, because we want to encourage and bless. That is the symbol of one who is humble. And if we are to grow characters that are full of these graces of the Spirit, then we need to root our lives in humility. It's very simple. It's a very simple thing to say, but that is part of the key. We need to root our lives in humility, gentleness, calmness. The second is that of obedience. We need to enrich our life with obedience. I guess this is a bit like pouring the fertilizer on to our lives to grow the fruit. If we root our lives in humility, then we need to enrich our lives by obedience. How does this fruit grow? How is it enriched? It is by walking in obedience with God. Where do we begin? If we're going to obey God, where do we begin? Where do you begin? Somebody comes up to you in the street, a friend comes up to you and says, "I want to learn obedience to God. Where do I begin?" In the Bible? Okay, the Bible's one answer. The gospel? Pray? Jesus? It's a good question. Where do you begin? How do you enrich your life by obedience? I think the answer is, yes, the Bible. Begin with Jesus. Begin with Jesus. Read the words of Jesus and seek to live in obedience to the teaching of Jesus. And I've probably said it before, the teaching of Jesus is some of the scariest teaching I have ever heard. Did you get that? Some of the scariest teaching. When you read the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and the challenge that they bring to the sense of normality in my life, the sense of, well, this is just how life is in my life, the challenge that the teaching of Jesus brings, it is scary. And the challenge to me to begin to live and to seek to continue to live in the way of Jesus. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous, the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? When you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so on. See, why do we ignore the teaching of Jesus? Because it's too difficult, we say. Too challenging. And yet the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit that we would have grow within us, we root in humility and we enrich it with obedience. Doing the simple things that Jesus taught us. And they are difficult and they are scary, but they're only difficult and scary because our culture and the culture some of us have grown up in are against those things. I was in a meeting the other day when, Treasurer's report was given in this meeting, and in the reserves was a humongous amount of money in this organization, and it was also reported that loans were made from this, what I considered a humongous amount of money, loans were being made to churches. And you think that's well and good, but it said, the Treasury said, loans are being made on interest and cited a very low, I don't know what the interest rate is at the moment is, but on a very low rate of interest to churches. And I, at the end of the Treasury's report, everyone's nodding off. Any questions? I think they're depending on everybody nodding off. So you won't ask the questions. Any questions? And with great sense of trepidation, I put up my hand. One of the two questions I asked, one of them was, why are we lending money with interest? Did not Jesus say, give to whomever asks? Doesn't the Bible say to lend without interest? And of course, for money-minded people, isn't that? Of course you lend with interest. Of course, of course. And I want to say, is that what Jesus taught? The challenge of living in obedience, enriching our lives in obedience. It's difficult. But if we want to live generous lives, we have to live generously. If we want to live loving lives, we have to live lovingly. If we want to live with kindness, we have to be kind. And we have to live in obedience to Jesus. So humility, obedience, and the final thing here is that of love. Cultivated in love. It all must be grown in love. Everything depends upon love. I've heard it said when the Apostle Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. He could just as well have said the fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It comes after 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and before 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And what do 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 talk about? Gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. And in the middle, the Apostle Paul talks about love. There's no point having gifts without love. Love is the heart, the center. It is everything. Love, cultivating our lives, our character in love. So, in a way this morning, all I say is it's very simple. It's only three words: humility, obedience, love. Root your life in humility. A true measure of who you are before God. Loved, blessed, beautiful, appreciated, receiving the pleasure of God, but not considering yourself better than others, seeking only to serve and be a blessing. Enriched by obedience, begin with Jesus and seek to do the simple things that he taught. And cultivate your whole character in love. In 1 Corinthians, we're also told that our lives will be tested with fire. I wonder, there will perhaps be just one thing that remains after we've been tested with fire, and that is love. So let's build our lives up in love, and kindness, and mercy. Let us let our lives reflect the character of God. This is a big issue. If we're to make progress, then we need to reckon with this. It's about character. Let's pause, and we're going to take a few moments just to be quiet before God.